Thank you for plugging into Family Life Podcasts, where you have 24-hour access to interviews, news features, ministry, and more right at your fingertips.
Abby, welcome to this edition of Inside Out.
Thank you.
This is a deep subject. It's a difficult subject that we're tackling here. I want to frame it correctly, and I think it's so important to go to the beginning of this in many ways and put the frame around it. When you were growing up, you grew up in a Christian home, and your parents were following Christ, and tell us more about that.
Yeah, I did. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a conservative home. I was taught right from wrong, taught good Christian values. I'm not sure. It really was when I went to college that I kind of started going down this different path. And, I'm not sure that it was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just that when I was in school, at home, it was every time the church doors were open, we were in the pew, And then it wasn't the same when I was in college.
For so many of us, when we go away to college, things change a little bit. There are a lot of temptations out there. We're trying to find our own voice, if you will. And these are challenging times for so many of us, and I think a lot of us can identify with that. You decide to go to a volunteer fair. That's how this whole Planned Parenthood thing really began for you?
Right. And it was just kind of happenstance. I was just walking through the student center, and this volunteer fair was going on. And, the Planned Parenthood booth caught my attention because it was just donned in all of this hot pink, which is my favorite color.
Yeah.
And so it caught my attention. I walked over to it, and the woman there was very nice, and I started asking her questions about Planned Parenthood, and she started telling me about the services, and honestly, I didn't know really anything about Planned Parenthood.
So at that point, even though you grew up in a Christian home, probably the whole abortion issue, you guys didn't discuss that much, did you?
We really didn't. I mean, I knew that we were a pro-life family. But I grew up in a small town. There was not an abortion center in our town or really anywhere around us.
Yeah.
And so, I grew up with the values, learning about abstinence. And so, it was kind of like, as long as you hold that value dear to you, then abortion would never be something that would be on the table.
Exactly. And that makes a lot of sense. So here's Planned Parenthood at the volunteer fair, flashy booth. And what were they telling you? Were they telling you, hey, listen, what you hear is all wrong. We are trying to decrease the number of abortions, not increase them.
Right, exactly. And they were saying that, abortion is something that is necessary because if it's not legal, then, women are going to be dying because of illegal abortion. And, that was something I'd never contemplated before. I'd never really contemplated abortion at all. And so, the pro-life or the pro-choice side of it. And so what she was saying made sense to me. And I just thought, well, gosh, it sounds, that would be terrible.
When you were volunteering, how did they ease you into all of that?
There wasn't a whole lot of easing into it. What I did as a volunteer, my first job as a volunteer was to escort women from their car to the front door on the day that they were going to have an abortion. They were very nervous.
Yeah.
And when I first started volunteering, this is back in 2001, the scene out in front of the Planned Parenthood was very different than it is now.
How so?
It was very aggressive. It was a very hostile environment. you know, a guy out there in a Grim Reaper outfit, people out there with signs, you know, saying that these women were murderers. It was just a very aggressive environment. And so these women were just trying, I mean, I felt very protective of the women because I thought, my gosh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
You know, nobody should have to endure this type of real harassment. And it was bad what they were having to go through.
So you would escort them back there, and then what else did you do at that point? You probably did a little bit of everything, really.
Well, in the beginning, that's really all I did was escorting. Then I started to get more involved inside the clinic. You know, kind of got involved in the political part of Planned Parenthood, lobbying, started, you know, doing kind of office volunteering. I eventually became a campus intern, volunteered in that way. And then when I graduated from A&M, that's when they actually offered me a paid job.
Yeah, and you ended up being a center director. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes here. But as you were going through this, did it ever really cross your mind what was going on in the clinic? Or was that something you just pushed away from yourself?
Yeah, it was something I kind of had to just push down. You know, I mean, it crossed my mind. I mean, I considered myself a Christian person. And so, you know, it was something that I had to justify. I had to try to reconcile my relationship with God and working and volunteering at an abortion clinic.
How in the world did you do that, I guess? Were you believing some of the Planned Parenthood lies, I suppose?
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, I was totally, you know, headfirst into it by this time. But I believed that I was doing God's will by working there. I believed that I was helping to save the lives of women. You know, I believe that I was not making the choice for them, but I was helping to basically just facilitate a safe procedure for them after they had made that choice. I just thought, I'm not sure how, as a Christian, I could, you know, listen to a woman say, I want to have an abortion, and then say, okay, well, good luck with that, and then send them off to someone that may, you know, like a you know, quote-unquote back alley abortionist. So I thought, you know, I don't know how I could reconcile that, you know, in my own heart as a Christian. And so that was kind of how I justified it.
Did you have any clients, any ladies who would come in and they would tell you, you know, I'm a Christian and I don't know if I should be doing something like this?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there were women that came in. You know, it was kind of, they were probably about 60 to 75% of the women that sat in my office said, you know, I've always been pro-life. I'm a Christian. I can't believe I'm sitting here doing this. And so it was kind of a running joke in the clinic. You know, I used to say, oh, yeah, you know, these pro-lifers, you know, they say, oh, I'm pro-life except in cases of rape, incest, and me.
Yeah.
Because that was what it seemed to be. And, you know, a lot of the women, most of the women, would say that they were Christian and that they had always been pro-life. And that's what Guttmacher statistics, that's Planned Parenthood's statistical arm, they state that 78% of women claim to be Christian.
Wow, that's, I didn't even realize that. It's ironic and it's, I don't know, it's tragic in many ways, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, the women who come in and who request an abortion, they feel hopeless. They feel trapped in so many cases. And it's the, what if I have this baby? What if, you know, I have this child? And the point is, you already have a child. It's not a what if, is it?
No, it's not. But there is a disconnect with the clinic workers. There is a disconnect with the women having an abortion. And honestly, there's a disconnect in our society and the unborn child. You know, women who are pregnant, they tend not to see themselves as mothers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to become a mother, you know, when I give birth. No, you are already a mother.
Now, you yourself went through two abortions. Now, this is so painful, I'm sure, and I know you've had to talk about this, not have to. You've chosen to talk about this because it's a part of your story, but it's very, very difficult each time you have to. But I think it's so crucial to bring this up because you know both sides of the issue. You yourself made that choice twice, so you understand more than probably anybody else both sides of this issue, don't you?
Right.
Tell us about what happened with those incidents.
I remember the first time that I found out I was pregnant. I was not married. I was engaged to my first husband, and you know, I remember finding out I was pregnant, and you know, people will say, you know, my mind was racing and you know, all this, but that I don't remember that at all. I just remember my mind being blank. You know, I didn't know what to think.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do. I guess I just never thought I would be in this situation. I didn't know what to do. And so I turned to my partner. I turned to my fiancé at the time, and I said, you know, what do we do? I'm not sure abortion, you know, in my state, in my blank mind, I'm not sure abortion had crossed my mind.
Yeah.
I think I was questioning, how am I going to tell my parents?
Sure.
But he said, oh, well, he was so calm, and he just said, oh, well, we'll just go and have an abortion. And he had taken a previous girlfriend to, I later found out, to have an abortion at this one clinic.
Yeah.
And it seemed like an easy solution. And at the time, it was easy.
Yeah.
You know, we went in. I you know, I don't remember a whole lot about the procedure. But I remember going in. I remember it was very easy. I didn't have any complications from the procedure. And it was over. And it was something that I just kind of stuffed down. I put it in the back of my mind. It was just a simple medical procedure that I didn't think about. I didn't talk about it. He and I never talked about it again. And I thought, well, this is never going to come up.
And you guys ended up getting married. There was some trouble there. And then you're on the brink of divorce and you find out, wow, I'm pregnant again.
I'm pregnant again. I thought, well, we're getting divorced. You know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do this alone.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be a single parent. And at the time, you know, obviously my relationship with him was not good. Hence we were getting divorced. And I thought, I don't want to have a connection to him for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And my first abortion was really easy. And so, you know, I think I'll just do this again.
And you were working at Planned Parenthood at that time.
Yeah, that time I was a volunteer. And so I just made my appointment at the clinic that I volunteered at.
This time around, though, you used the abortion pill.
I did. I thought that that would be less invasive. And so I did the abortion pill, and it was one of the worst experiences of my life.
You had to suffer on your own in your own apartment for days, didn't you?
I did, for weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, and I wanted to tell my parents and just, you know, say, help me. I mean, I need help, you know. but I didn't feel like I could. And, you know, looking back on both of those situations, you know, I didn't give my parents enough credit.
Yeah.
And, you know, now that they know about both of the abortions, you know, I know that there is an emptiness in them because those were their grandchildren.
God never lets us go, which is a huge part of your story, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But it's easy for us to just kind of continue on. We become callous sometimes to the voice of the Holy Spirit as we walk through this life, and yet God never lets us go. You moved up through the ranks of Planned Parenthood, becoming a center director, and let's go to that one fateful day where you were actually called upon to assist in an abortion. Now, it wasn't just an ordinary abortion. I guess it was an ultrasound-guided abortion. For those folks who don't know the difference, explain that to us.
It's very rare to have an ultrasound-guided abortion, especially during a first trimester abortion, because it takes more time and it's not part of any abortion center protocol. But the difference is that during an ultrasound guided abortion, the ultrasound probe is actually held on the woman's abdomen during the abortion procedure, so you actually see inside the woman's uterus during the abortion.
Yeah.
So you see the baby, you see everything that's happening inside of the uterus.
In detail, really, don't you?
Yeah, in detail. Yeah, I mean, now with the ultrasound technology we have, it's very detailed. And so I had never witnessed that before. To my knowledge, it was the first time that an ultrasound-guided abortion had ever taken place in our clinic. And this doctor was simply doing it kind of as a learning tool, using it as a learning experience for us. And, you know, my job during the procedure was going to be to hold the ultrasound probe on the woman's abdomen.
Yeah.
During the procedure. And so I was, you know, I had done ultrasounds before, so I was, you know, comfortable doing that. But what I saw on the screen during the actual abortion was shocking, because I saw that 13-week-old baby fighting to get away from the abortion instruments and from the suction instrument. And that was something that I believed wouldn't happen, because Planned Parenthood had told me that the fetus had no sensory development until 28 weeks.
Yeah, couldn't feel any pain or anything like that.
Right. And so I was shocked. I couldn't believe that this 13-week-old baby in the womb was actually moving away and trying to flee from this probe. And, you know, it was that day that I thought, if they've been lying about this, what else, you know, has been lies?
So at that point, you were just horrified. And had you made the decision after all of that, did you go back to your office, sit down and say, I can't do this anymore?
Yeah, I thought, I mean, I was really in shock. And I thought, I can't be in the abortion business anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it. I didn't sit down and say, okay, now I'm a pro-life advocate. You know, that I was so confused. I mean, my life, I felt like, was just kind of in this tornado now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I had believed was turned upside down. Planned Parenthood had been my life. Everything that I had believed now was flipped upside down. I didn't know what was real. I didn't know what had been lies and what was the truth. I just thought, I'm going to really have to do some fact searching and some soul searching.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I went home that day, talked to my husband. You know, I just knew that I couldn't continue to work at Planned Parenthood.
God was working ahead of the curve in all of this. You describe him as being a great and awesome choreographer, which really he was orchestrating getting you out. You didn't know it at the time, but, I mean, the first thing you had to deal with was this tremendous guilt of not only from your own abortions, I assisted in so many other abortions as well. That was the first step, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. The healing part of my own two abortions was, that was kind of small beans compared to the healing that I had to go through for being party to thousands of other abortions, helping women choose and helping to honestly coerce women into having abortions.
Because, by the way, this was an issue where Planned Parenthood, there was a quota, right? There was a, it was a business,
yes,
as well, where they said, man, it is a business. We have to make some money here, which means increasing the number of abortions. That's part of the deal, am I right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, our jobs are on the line.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't meet your goals, your job is on the line. And so, you know, we were salespeople for abortions.
Once you realized all of this, what was the defining moment where you realized that God had his hand on you and his grace was sufficient and you were forgiven for these things that just you were carrying around the weight on your shoulders? When was that moment?
Probably the biggest moment for me was after I had quit one night. It was late at night. I just felt God urging me to go out to the clinic where I used to work and pray. Mm. And it was during a 40 Days for Life campaign, so I knew somebody else would be out there. And I thought, this is crazy. It's, you know, 10 o'clock at night, and I don't know if I'm ready for this. But I kept feeling God nudging me to go out there. So I did. You know, I went out there and, you know, I stood there and it was the first time that I had, you know, I had to face that building.
Yeah.
Literally. And it was the first time that I had been on the other side of that literal and figuratively that fence. It was a very powerful moment for me to look at that building, you know, to realize that, you know, I was now completely separated from that life.
Yeah.
And that, you know, here I was standing on kind of, you know, the quote-unquote enemy's turf.
Yeah.
And that I was one of them. I had to really, it was kind of the first time, I think, that in a long time, that I was able to really pray and feel like I could have an intimate connection with God. Because before, I would pray, but I wasn't really listening.
Yes.
I would shut him out. I would put up a wall because I didn't want to hear what God had to say.
Right.
Because I was scared that he may tell me, you need to leave your job.
Sure.
And I didn't want to do that. So this is the first time that I really felt that intimacy with Christ. I really felt his healing presence over me. And it was a beautiful time. And I was out there for, you know, probably a little over an hour. It felt like 10 minutes, but I was out there for a little over an hour. And it was really just an awesome time, just with me and God.
God's grace through Jesus Christ. Man, isn't that an awesome thing?
It really is.
What do you say to the ladies, and for that matter, even the guys who are listening to this conversation right now, who somehow were involved in an abortion themselves? This is, anytime we talk about this topic, it's so important for me to remember that they're listening as well. And it's easy to just talk about the evils of abortion without thinking about the people involved. And your story illustrates this perfectly. But since you've been through so much, and you've got their ear right now, what would you say, number one, to the folks who have chosen abortion in the past?
Well, you know, I talk to a lot of people, men and women, who have chosen abortion. I tell them that I understand. I understand why that package of abortion looked so appealing. I understand why they made that choice. A lot of people understand. No one is here to judge you for that choice, but you need to reach out for forgiveness. And you're probably walking around with a lot of self-hate and a lot of self-judgment and a lot of defensiveness because of the choice that you made, and you may be trying to justify why abortion is a good decision. But it's not a good decision. It's never a good decision. And just because you made that abortion decision doesn't mean that it was right. You can find forgiveness through Christ. No sin is too big for Christ. And I tell people, if he can forgive me, he can forgive you. Mm. He can forgive any sin. Nothing is too big.
What do you say to the young woman who is considering abortion today?
Well, you know, I tell them that abortion, it really does. Sometimes it can look like a really nice option. The abortion industry has done a really good job of taking abortion, taking that package, wrapping it up, and putting a really nice bow on it. And so it looks like a really nice package, but when you open that up, it is something that will leave you hurting for the rest of your life. Planned Parenthood or the abortion industry will not be there for you when you're hurting. You are already a mother to that baby that is living inside of you, and that baby is depending on you for life. And you already, whether you know it or not, God has already instilled in you a maternal bond to your child. And there is nothing more unnatural in our culture than taking the life of our children. And it will create a scar in you that will last for the rest of your life. And so I just encourage these women to seek counsel. And there are people out there that are skilled to help you. And there's a number that you can call. It's 1-800-395-HELP. It's a hotline that is open 24 hours that is there to help you if you are needing to talk to somebody. And even for women or men that have had abortions in their past, and they need to talk to somebody, it's a good resource for people to have,
you know, it's,
and to reach out to.
It's something that is not talked about. It's talked about more today than it has been in the past, but the whole issue of, hey, there are two people involved in the choice, well, at least there are two people involved in the abortion, and it's nobody ever talks about its effect on guys, or very few people at least.
Yeah, and that's something that's sad. You know, I used to always encourage the men to come back to the counseling session with me and the women, and I used to always ask them, you know, how do you feel about this? You know, are you okay with this? And their answer always, 100% of the time, was either, well, you know, she's already made up her mind, or, well, it's her body, so it's her decision.
Yeah.
And that is something that our society has done, and that's something that the radical feminist movement has done to the men in our society. We have silenced our men. We have told them that this is our body, and so it's our child, and they have no rights, and they have no say.
Yeah.
And so we have silenced them, and they have bought into it. But I tell these men when they go into the clinic, and I'm sidewalk counseling, that she is desperate to hear them speak up and stand up for their child.
Yeah.
If he would only speak up and say, you know what, we can do this, and I will sacrifice anything for our child, and I want this baby. I want us to raise our child together. If he would just say those words, she would walk out of that clinic because she is looking for his leadership and his guidance. But as long as she's not getting it, she will stay inside of that clinic.
Wow, man, that is just that's a tremendous insight. I'd never really thought about it like that before. You are now a volunteer for the folks on the other side of the fence, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, the Coalition for Life, pro-life movement and such. How ironic how God can work sometimes, huh?
Yeah.
How do you like the work you're doing there?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love going out and sidewalk counseling. I've had several turnarounds, saves at the clinic, and it's an amazing feeling.
That must make you feel fantastic to know that you've actually saved some babies' lives.
Oh, yeah, there's just nothing better than that.
Name of the book is Unplanned, Abby Johnson. Abby, thank you for being so candid and sharing your story. I know it has some painful parts to it, but God bless you for the work that you're doing. How neat to see how God has redeemed your life in so many ways. How awesome.
Thank you.